Good morning. Today's daf is daf Pei Hei. We'll start on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the page. The Mishnah taught that if a person says, Kohanim v'Leviim nehenin li, that nothing of mine can Kohanim or Leviim benefit from, then Kohanim and Leviim can go and take the Truma and Maaser against his will. But if he said, Kohanim Elu, these Kohanim can't benefit from me, then he let him give the Truma and Maaser to different Kohanim. So the Gemara points out there's a contradiction here. There's something called Tovas Hana. Tovas Hana means minimal benefit. Let's say you don't really own something, but you do have the power to direct that thing. So people might give you a little bit of money that you direct it to them. So that's a little bit of benefit. It's a little bit of ownership. So that's what goes on to Truma and Maaser. Truma and Maaser, you don't own. It belongs to the Kohanim. It belongs to the Leviim. But yet, if there's a fellow who has a grandchild who's a Kohen, because his daughter married a Kohen, he might come to you and give you a little bit of a gift so that you would then give your Truma to his grandchild. So maybe that's a little bit of ownership. That's called Tovas Hana. It's not really your property. You can't sell it. But you could be getting some gifts by virtue of the fact that you could direct where that Truma goes. So we learned, Kohanim and Leviim, Nehenim Li, that if a person made a neder, Kohanim and Leviim can't get a benefit from him, then they can take against his will. So what does that mean? Alma, apparently, Tovas Hana Eino Mama. They're taking against his will. It's because the fact that he has the right to determine where this money goes is not considered money. It's not considered a monetary value. So the fact that they took it from him is not that they got from him something of monetary value. He had no monetary value. But then Ema Sefer, but then read the end. Kohanim Elu, if I say these Kohanim can't get, Leviim Elu, Nehenin Li, then Yitlu Acherim, then these Kohanim can't get. Why? Because if I were to give these Kohanim from my Truma, then they're getting a benefit from me. I thought you just said that Tovas Hana is not a benefit. So Amar Rav Hoshaya answered that there's not a contradiction here. Lo Kasha, it's really in the same Mishnah, two different Tanayim. HaRabbi v'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. One is the view of Rabbi, one is the view of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya went in a Braisa. Hagonev Tivul Shel Chaveiro. If I steal the tevel of my friend, I steal the produce of my friend, the chumas and maisos have not been separated from it, v'achlo, then I consume it. Meshalem lo d'mei tivlo d'vi Rebbe. Rebbe holds I have to pay to my friend the value of all that I stole. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, Eina meshalem lo d'mei chulin shabo. I take that which I stole, I figure out how much of it is chulin, let's say 78%, and the 22%, it's Chumos and Maestros, I don't pay for. Whereas according to Rabbi, for the 22%, it's Chumos and Maestros, I figure out what's the Tovas Hana, what type of benefit could my friend have gotten by means of steering that 22% to particular people, and I have to give him that Tovas Hana plus the other 78%. So my love, so presumably, this is the argument. The Rebbe, who holds that there's payment on everything that was stolen, Savar Tovas Hana Mamon, that on the parts that are Chumas and Maestros, the owner has a little bit of ownership, that's called Tovas Hana, and Tovas Hana is money. However, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Savar, Tovas Hana Eino Mamon, Tovas Hana is not a monetary ownership, therefore you don't pay that guy for the Tovas Hana of his that you took away from him. And that's the argument here. If Tovas Hana is money, so someone who can't get any benefit from me can't have benefited from my Tovas Hana, then he wouldn't be able to get my Chumas and Maisos because then he'd be getting the Tovas Hana. He'd be getting a benefit. But if Tovas Hana is not money, so he can't get benefit from me, but Tovas Hana is not a benefit. So if he took away the Tovas Hana, if he got the Chumas and Maisos, he didn't get a benefit from me. That's the argument. It's the machlokas of Rabbi who holds Tovas Hana's money. He would hold that he is the Tan of the end of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is the Tan of the beginning of the Mishnah.
But Tovas Hana doesn't have monetary value.
That's the argument. We're saying it's an argument.
Answer the Gemara, lo, maybe not. Maybe the Kuli Alma, maybe everybody agrees, Tova Sana Eina Mamon. Everyone agrees that just the right to determine who gets something, that's not a monetary value, and that doesn't thereby give a person a right in the thing that he's giving away. Elohacha, so what's the argument about whether a guy who steals a whole barrel of Tevel has to pay for the whole barrel, he only has to pay for 78% of the barrel? It's a different argument. The question is, many times in halacha we have things that you're supposed to do, and maybe we say, since you're supposed to do it, it's as if it was done. So here you're supposed to give truma and the two masros. Maybe even before you've separated it, it's as if you've already separated it. That's the argument, that according to Rabbi, since you're supposed to separate it, but you haven't yet separated it, so therefore there is the full payment of the full tevel. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you're supposed to separate it, it's as if you've already separated it. So when I stole from you your tevel, you've already separated the chumas and maestros. I only stole the part that's chulin within it. So I only pay you 78% of the barrel. So the Gemara asks, itovas ana ina mamo. If the right to determine who gets the chumas and maestros is not valued, Mali hurmu, mali lo hurmu. So who cares? Who cares whether it's considered separated, it's not considered separated? Even if it's not considered separated, so what? But you, the owner of the tevel, can't get anything from the trumas and maestros. Ella rather, ainu taima de Rabbi, the logic of Rabbi, of why he says you pay for the whole tevel, the thief, that is, pays for the whole tevel. Kansu rabbanan leganav. Really, the ganav should only be paying for the chulin, because the tovah sana is not money. But why does he have to pay for the whole amount? It's a punishment. Ki ichd lo lignov. It's a knas. It's a fine to discourage people from stealing. They made him pay larger amounts. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that you only pay for the chulin shabo, because he holds the other way. They punish the balabayas. He shouldn't leave tevel in his house. Therefore they said, even though a whole barrel was stolen from you, you're only going to get 78% of that barrel back. Rava Marava said, shiny chuma. Chuma is different in our Mishnah. This is why when he made a neder, Kohanim can't get benefit from him. All Kohanim can't get benefit from him. They can go take it from him. We asked, I understand. That must mean the Tova Sana is not money. That's why they can take it from him. They're not getting a benefit from him. But then at the end of the Mishnah we say, if he said Kohanim Elu, it means Kohanim, that Tova Sana is money. Now the reason why with Truma they can take it against his will, because truma can only be eaten by Kohanim. And he's saying that all Kohanim are now to get from him. So he's trying to prevent any Kohen from getting his truma. So then Shavi Afra Ba'alma. Oh, then he's making his truma into dirt. He's making it hefker. He's making it odorless. Because if Kohanim can't get truma, what can he do for Kohanim? So he's making his truma hefker. He makes his truma hefker. Then, in fact, the Kohanim can come take from him. But if he said, these Kohanim can't take, so he's not making it hefker, he's not making it ownerless. He's not saying, no one can get, I can't get any benefit from it. If he's saying, I can't get any benefit from it because it's hefker, because no, what's the one benefit a person who's a non-Kohen can get from truma? He can give it, can choose who to give it to. The one benefit that truma can produce is that Kohanim can eat it. But if he says, all Kohanim are aser to me from this chuma, no Kohanim can get this chuma. So basically he's making the chuma ownerless, he's making it valueless. So then it's not his anymore, they can go take it. But if he's saying, these Kohanim can't take, other Kohanim can take. So he's not making it valueless, so then he can give it to them. But it's not based on the issues of Tova Sana. Basically Tova Sana, perhaps, is not money in
so
any
that,
case.
That asur is not asur. It's like, you know. automatic.
Automatically they can take. Okay. Tova Sana actually is money. And even though Tova Sana is money, that's why in the Seifa, he can't, the Kohanim can't take it. Once he says these Kohanim can't take. But in the Reish, in the beginning, when he said no Kohanim can take, he's making it ownerless. Then Kohanim can take. Yeah, question.
Why is Tova Sana such a minor thing? You would think, like, everyone knows the game in a sense. Every grandfather would say, okay, if my son can, you know, spend 90 cents in the dollar instead of 100, you know, everyone would be doing it. Like, so why is it a minor bet? It would seem like it would be real equity. Like, eventually.
But it's not the full price.
But it's groceries. I'm saying, so, like, I don't know.
But it's not the price. Let's say a pound of apples in the market is 3 shekel. If you had a pound of truma, you could never get 3 shekel for it. Maybe you'd get 50 agorot, and thereby you'd give it to the grandson. So that's the question. Is that called money?
I'm just saying, practically speaking, it's going to end up being real money, because if a person has a choice to go to the supermarket and spend, $1,
3 shekel.
Or it would pay 90 cents for the truma, right?
It's true. Interesting point.
It's just it's surprising it's considered such a minor benefit.
Right.
A kohen is not allowed to give a little,
Kohen can't give anything to squeeze it along.
We're keeping everything for you. For you.
All right, next Mishnah. This actually takes us back to a sugya that we learned in Maseches Ksubos. A woman who says, Konim sheni yosal pi abba, whatever I produce, whatever I weave, is usher as a neder on it to my father. My father can't get benefit from what I weave. Or al pi avicha, your father can't get benefit from what I weave. Or al pi achi, my brother can't get benefit from what I weave. Or al pi achicha, your brother can't get benefit from what I weave. Eino yachal lahafer, he can't reject that neder. Why? Doesn't cause her physical pain. And it's not Dvarim Shebeinu Levaina. It's not between him and her. It's between her and other people, but not between her and the husband. However, if she says, whatever I weave is usher to you, my husband, Sheini Os Al Picha, then, in theory, you should be able to reject, because that's Dvarim, you should be able to suspend. That's Dvarim Shebeinu Levaina. But the Mishnah says, Eino Tzarech Lafer, he doesn't even have to suspend it. Because since she already owes her handiwork to her husband, she didn't have authority or ownership over her handiwork to make it prohibited to her husband. Exactly. Rabbi Akiva says, even though really she didn't have the authority to make her handiwork prohibited to her husband, Yafra, the husband, should still reject it. Because maybe she'll make more than the amount that she's obligated, more than 5 sa'in. More than 5 sla'in of milas, as we learned in Maseches Ksubos. And that extra amount she doesn't owe him. So if she had made a neder that whatever she makes is usher to him, the extra amount would become usher. So, but if he rejected it, and it's a Dvarim Shebeinu Levaina, the extra amount won't become usher. Even though really he doesn't have to reject, he should reject. Why? If he doesn't reject, so the neder didn't take effect. But once he divorces her, then the neder would take effect. But if he rejected it, even after he divorces her, the neder doesn't take effect. Because if he didn't reject it, when he divorces her, the neder will take effect. And then when he remarries her, then it would stay prohibited to him. Amar Shmuel said, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, a woman who makes a neder saying that whatever she produces should be prohibited to her husband, even though really she doesn't have authority to do that, because as Roger pointed out, as part of the ksuba, whatever she produces has to be given to the husband. She already owes it to the husband. Nevertheless, the husband should reject the neder. Because even though it didn't take effect now, it would take effect the moment she gets divorced. And then she would stay prohibited even if he remarried her. Even if he remarried her after the divorce. So halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because this neder is going to take effect after she gets divorced. That's what Shmuel says. L'meimer, does this mean the kasavar Shmuel adam makdish davar shlo bala olam? A person can sanctify something that doesn't yet exist? Because after all, she's not currently divorced. We're saying that the neder is going to take effect once she gets divorced. But once she gets divorced, it's a new reality. She becomes a new person. So we're saying that you can do something now. You can say, my handiwork is kadosh, and it will become kadosh after a new reality comes into the world, after she gets divorced. Davish lebal olam. Is that so? Or a minute, I'll challenge you, we learned, hamatish ma'isi yidei ishto. If a person says that whatever handiwork my wife makes is kadosh to Hashem. Now turning to page Pehei Amud Beis. So his wife can make things, and she can sell them, and they're not kadosh. Why? Because they don't really belong to the husband. The hamosar, but if he sanctifies the excess, in other words, whatever she makes beyond just what she owes to her husband, Rebbe Meir says it's kadosh, even though it was a davar shaloba la'olam. Rebbe Yochanan Sandler Omer Chulin. Rebbe Yochanan Sandler says it's not kadosh, because at the time that he made the declaration of making things kadosh, these items didn't yet exist. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said there, Allah Rebbe Yochanan Sandler. Shmuel said, Allah is like Rebbe Yochanan Sandler. So how must you see it according to Shmuel? Ain't the makish davar shaloba la'olam. So how could Shmuel, who paskins that a man can't sanctify something that doesn't yet exist, paskin here like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that a woman can sanctify her handiwork for the status that she'll be in after she gets divorced, when currently she's married and her being divorced doesn't yet exist? It's a contradiction in the view of Shmuel. The chitame, if you're going to try to answer, ki kamar lach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when did Shmuel say, halachas like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that a person should reject the nedarim of his wife that she makes on her handiwork, because maybe she'll get divorced and then the neder will take effect. It wasn't because of getting divorced the neder will take effect. He's saying, Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ala adafa de ka'ama. Just in one point of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Rabbi Akiva says you should reject the neder because she might make more than the basic amount. So apparently, according to Rabbi Akiva, more than the basic amount doesn't belong to the husband, and there the neder would take effect on it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says no, reject the neder for a different reason, because she might get divorced. Why doesn't he say the reason of Rabbi Akiva? She might make more than the basic amount. Apparently, that's not a reason to reject the neder, because even more than the basic amount, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, belongs to the husband, and the neder didn't take effect because she already owes it to the husband. So that's what he was saying. Halachas like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in regards to the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that not only is there a basic amount that the wife has to give to the husband, but even the amount extra than the basic amount the wife has to give to the husband. That's what he meant to say. Well, if that's so, lay malachas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri be'adafa. Say that. Say halachas like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that more than that basic amount belongs to the husband. Inami, or he can say halacha ketana kama. Halachas like the Tana Kama, that when she makes a neder on her handiwork, there's no need to reject the neder because it never took effect, not on the basic amount nor on the extra amount. Inami, or he could say halacha ki Rabbi Akiva, or Shmuel should say halachas like Rabbi Akiva. So he could have said, he could have said, ein halacha Rabbi Akiva. Could have said, halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the basic amount is the only thing that the husband gets. But no, rather the extra amount also goes to the husband. El amar Rav Yosef. So rather Rav Yosef said, according to Shmuel, a person cannot sanctify that which he doesn't yet own. And that's why Shmuel said, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, that if a husband says about his wife that her handiwork that she will produce is kadosh, even when he says about the motar, the extra of her handiwork, is kadosh, it doesn't become kadosh because it doesn't yet exist at the time when the husband made the neder. So really, according to Shmuel, ain't adam akish davar shlo b'olam. But nevertheless, here, He said when he says that the he says konam that what my wife produces is a nether on me. Shani konamos, nedarim are different. Nedarim are different than hekdesh. In that case of Rabbi Yochanan, Hasandlar, it was a question about hekdesh. Now it's a question about nedarim, konamos. And in konamos it's different. Ho'el v'adam oser peros chavero alav. Because I can prohibit Baruch's property on me, even though I don't own Baruch's property, but I can make a neder not to go into Baruch's house, and then Baruch's house I can't enter. So oser nam midavish lebalolam alav. So I could even prohibit on me or on Baruch something that doesn't yet come into the world, something that doesn't yet exist. I can also make oser on Baruch.
You can. You cannot.
The Gemara thinks I can through a neder. So Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Bishlama Adam oser peros chaveru alav. Shari Adam oser perosav al chaveru. I can understand it. I could prohibit Baruch's house on me, because I can prohibit my house on Baruch. Since I can prohibit my house on Baruch, I can prohibit Baruch's house on me. Eliezer davash labala olam al chaveiro. But how could we say that something that doesn't yet exist, I can create through a konam and neder prohibiting it on Baruch? Sharei ein adam oser peros chaveiro al chaveiro. It doesn't yet exist. So I don't yet own it. So, could I go and prohibit Baruch's house on Baruch? Of course not. If I don't own Baruch's house, I can't make it aser to Baruch. So how could I prohibit the Dvarim Shlo Baim Lo Olam, things that haven't yet come into the world, on somebody else? Elam Rav Huna Rebbe of Yeshua. So Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, gave a different answer. Shmuel believes that a person can't be Maktish Davar Shlo Bal Olam. Shmuel, who said Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, also believes that a person cannot make a neder on a davar shlo bal olam. So if a person can't make a neder on a davar shlo bal olam, so then you ask me, why did we say that, why did he say that in our Mishnah, that if the woman said, whatever I produce is aser, he needs to suspend it because maybe he'll divorce her, and then then the prohibition will take effect. After all, why should that matter? That's a new reality. It's a davar shlo bal olam, something that hasn't come into the world yet. So answers the Gemara. Here it's talking about the following case. But Omeris, when she says, not just whatever I produce will become aser, which is, you know, something that hasn't happened yet. She hasn't been divorced yet. Bomeres yikadshu yadai lo sehen. She says, my hand should become kadosh in regards to what they produce. So the hands currently exist. The hands do exist. And since the hands exist, that's why the neder can take effect.
Rabbi, in a marriage, who has the sort of final say? If the wife, if the husband has an obligation to feed and clothe his wife, right? But if the wife says, I don't want to accept it, I'm going to take care of myself.
Then she can keep her food.
She keeps everything.
She keeps it, right.